Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TFA fam, welcome back in. It is week 13 already. The fantasy playoffs are right around the corner. It is Thanksgiving week. So with that in mind, Kev, let's open up the floor a little bit. Let's get through the obligatory Thanksgiving talk. I want to start off by, what are you thankful for from a fantasy lens, a fantasy perspective? What stands out to you this year?
I think the best thing you could talk about is maybe just the health of the running back position this year. It's been kind of a weird year where normally running backs are not, and you're usually scrambling every week trying to find different running backs. You're piecemealing it together because we see so many different running back injuries. This year we haven't seen any, or at least a ton. You know, there's been a couple here and there along the way, but just from the most part, like, you know, you're used to like every week talking about a couple guys who went down or going to miss a couple weeks, like. Not really. Like, it's been really weird. It's actually been the wide receivers that have just been absolutely decimated by injuries this year. So that's been good to see. And just a bonus. I also say that Chase Brown has been a nice addition because he's been phenomenal. And he looks like he's going to be the league winner. And we might be talking about him here soon.
Ah, all right. Little foreshadowing. It's funny. Whenever we had just, peek behind the curtains, we decided we were going to talk about this literally five minutes ago before we hopped on in true TFA fashion. But my first thought was going through was also on the running back side, but like I almost didn't want to say it to like put that like that bad juju out in the fantasy world, because it has been absolutely wild how relatively unscathed running back has been. Obviously, wide receiver, you know, the fantasy gods giveth and the fantasy gods taketh away. Wide receiver has been a completely opposite end of that spectrum. You mentioned Chase Brown. We got to give thanks to Penn State great Saquon Barkley, who's just been on otherworldly all year, which also at the same time just makes you so sad that, you know, he had to deal with, you know, we were basically robbed of this type of performance from him for so long being on the Giants. Obviously, he dealt with his fair share of injuries as well. But, man, the fact that he's doing this in, you know, five years into his career and just absolutely bawling and just looking unstoppable. And then just to throw out a couple other things, Caleb Williams being freed from Shane Waldron, something else that just makes you sad that we had to deal with for, you know, being robbed of those performances with Shane Waldron. And then Anthony Richardson maybe coming back around after, you know, who knew that being benched for a handful of weeks behind Joe Flacco would do the trick. But, you know, for at least for now, it seems like it's starting to turn around a little bit.
Yeah, I have to say the same thing for Bryce Young. I mean, Bryce Young, I mean, now has gone on a year and a half of looking really bad. And then he got benched for Andy Dalton, and then they finally put him back in, and, you know, they went 2-1 since that point. And, you know, they went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. And, I mean, he made – if you go back, and there's been some people cutting up that game and stuff like that, I mean, he made some really good throws. Like, I mean, just dropping in dimes to his wide receivers. And so I think that's a really positive sign of hopefully things to come for him. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be some upper echelon quarterback. But, you know, maybe at the very least, you know, he can be a kind of middle of the road average to maybe above average quarterback, especially if they can get some weapons around him, because that's something they don't have right now. They have none. I mean, it's Adam Thielen and David Moore and, you know, Xavier Legette, who, you know, we'll see what comes of him. But, like, you know, it's been good to at least see that from him. So it's been a lot there. And then also, just hate something else, too. It's just like, I was talking about this today, but it's like, it's absolutely insane for Joe Burrow. That dude, if the Bengals, you just flip their record and they were 7-4 right now, he'd be the MVP right now. The dude has almost 30 passing touchdowns and over 3,000 passing yards, and they're 4-7. It's just absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's been brutal for him this year. He's been playing, you know, some of the best football of his career for sure, and does not have the record to show for it. The last thing I did want to talk about before we jump into why we're here, which is the must start running backs and wide receivers for Week 13. But we have to get in some food talk. Got to do that. So, Kev, what I want to know is, when you're putting together, like, your first plate, the first time you go up to the table, what's making the cut? What are you putting on your plate the first trip?
So I'm not I think we've talked about this before, but, like, I'm not a turkey guy. Like, I'll eat turkey if it's there. Like, it's like if I absolutely don't have a choice, I'll eat it. Like I don't, like, hate it or despise it or think it's gross. It's just I'm not a big fan. Like, I think it's okay. It's fine. Like, a good fried turkey is really good. I had some good smoked turkey as well. But, like, your typical just in the oven turkey is, like, whatever. I'm a big ham guy. So it's gonna be ham. It's gonna be, you know, mashed potatoes, double starch with some sweet potato casserole is really good. You know, a good roll. You know, I'm not like I know a lot of people love like green bean casserole. Not me. It's not my thing. And then the other thing I think is probably most people think is sacrilegious is I am not a fan of stuffing at all. Like, I know people love stuffing and just think it's the greatest thing ever, and I hate it. And every time I say that, people are like, "Well, okay. You haven't had good stuffing then." I'm like, oh yeah, sure. That's what it is. You know, I've never been around it. So it's always been stovetop stuffing. That's all I've ever had. Like, I'm like, no, I just don't like it. I don't know if it's the texture of it, the flavor. I don't know. But, like, I'm just not a fan. So I'm pretty basic. You know, give you a big pile of ham, some fucking mashed potatoes, maybe some gravy on there, sweet potato casserole. You know, if there's, like, corn or something like that, I'll eat that. Like, corn's really good. But, you know, I'm not a big green bean casserole guy.
I can get down with green bean casserole. It's like the one time a year where you ever see that sitting around. So I will throw that if it's on there. Pretty much in line with what you said, although I will say my mom's stuffing was legit. So I'm going to continue this cliche conversation. And I will say that, you know, had you been able to have my mom's stuffing, might have changed your mind. The other thing too is my wife makes this, like, it's called, like, corn confetti or something. I have no idea what's actually in it. There's, like, bacon in there. It's like a creamier, like, kind of corn side dish. That's bomb. And my wife's family, where we're going to be having Thanksgiving, everybody loves deviled eggs. So there will absolutely be, like, 6 deviled eggs on my plate as well.
Yeah, deviled eggs are phenomenal too. Like, that's a good call. Are you a pumpkin pie guy?
I am a pumpkin pie guy.
Yeah, pumpkin pie is pretty good. Apple pie is good. Those things are all really good. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a really fun day. And then, of course, then you, a lot of people have to go back to work the next day, which is stupid. I think the day after Thanksgiving should just be a national holiday. So,
are you a Cool Whip or a Ready Whip guy?
I think Ready Whip's a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait. That is the one thing about Thanksgiving. The food is second to July 4th food. I will go down with the ship on that one, plant my flag. But the fact you get to sit around just with a tummy full of delicious food and just watch football all day, it's fucking awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah. Though I'll say this week, the Thursday games are kind of weird. I mean, especially the middle one, the Giants and Cowboys with DeVito versus Cooper Rush is like, This is what we're gonna get. So the Bears Lions game has potential to be really good. Also, it could also just be an ass kicking, but I think there's potential of it being really good. And then the last game should be really good. The Packers and Dolphins should be really fun as well. So it's not all lost. It's just that middle game, just, you know, whatever. Maybe take a nap during that time. You know, you've ate all your food, take a little nap, maybe wake up at the, you know, second half, see what's going on, and then get ready for the Sunday or the nightcap.
I was literally just about to say, if you time it out right, that can be your post-food coma nap wake up, see what's going on, get your second round of dessert, and then get ready for the nightcap. So I'm with you. So it might not be as bad, but goodness gracious.
But I will say, though, the only thing I'll say is that, you know, as bad as that game might be, and in April, whenever you're like, man, I miss football, like, I would be yearning to be able to watch the Cowboys and Giants in that matchup. So football is football, and at the end of the day, it's fine.
Absolutely. With that out of the way, man, let's go ahead and dive into our Week 13 must-start running back plays of the week. The floor is yours, Kev. Go ahead and kick us off here with your first play.
Yeah, I'm going to start off straight to the top, coming hot. It's going to be Chase Brown. I mean, since taking over as the bell cow back for the Bengals, he's handling 84% of the snaps, 86% of the rush attempts, which is the highest rate in the league over that span, 61% of routes, 16% target share, and leads all running backs in expected fantasy points. He is the RB3 overall, averaging 23 fantasy points per game. You know, if healthy, I think Brown could be an absolute league winner with that workload. On paper, this looks like it could be a little bit tougher of a matchup, but they have really started stumbling since week 7. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they have allowed a 4.4 yards per carry, which is the 11th highest rate in the league. They've allowed the third most rushing touchdowns, the 11th highest explosive run rate allowed, the 8th lowest stuff rate, and a 2.36 yards before contact per attempt, which is the third highest rate in the league since week 7. So this matchup certainly isn't as difficult as it used to be. And I will also say that, you know, we've seen Chase Brown perform really well in really tough matchups. You know, against the Ravens, that was definitely one of the tougher matchups he's seen against one of the elite run defenses. He did really well in that matchup. He did good against the Chargers, who are also really good against the run. So he's gotten to the point where he's pretty much independent of any matchup that he has because of the incredible workload that he has, because of involvement in the passing game. So Chase Brown is an absolute baller. And to me, he is a locked in top 10 running back rest of season. I don't think that's hot whatsoever. And I am not worried whatsoever about this matchup against the Steelers.
Yeah, the receiving usage has been particularly surprising just because we haven't really seen the Bengals do that over the past couple of years. You know, we were always complaining that Joe Mixon was not getting that type of usage. And now, you know, Chase Brown is seeing what we thought Joe Mixon should have been seeing, and he is definitely taking advantage of it. Speaking of Joe Mixon, actually, and at the risk for sounding like this is an obvious spot, I did just want to mention Joe Mixon as a play of the week, just because I think is one of the best bounce back spots we could possibly ask for. Really, he should be giving thanks for this matchup at the dinner table on Thursday, going up against the Jags, who've allowed the second most fantasy points per game on the year. Mixon is coming off by far his worst fantasy outing of the season, not including week 2 where he got hurt. But even then, this past week, he still had elite usage with 20 total opportunities. Last week was the first time since week 6, which was his first week back from injury, that he didn't log at least 20 carries. And just to really drive home the point of the insane usage that he's been seeing, there have only been 2 games all year where he has not seen at least 24 total opportunities. Did just want to throw out Mixon, like I said, because he is my RB1 on the week, and I think we see him get back on track with 100-plus rushing yards and multiple scores in Week 13. And then the other obvious one I just want to toss out real quickly, not really talk about, though, is going to be Kyren Williams. I think he's in for a massive bounce-back spot. I was a little surprised to see that he has not put up a RB1 week since Week 8. But I think that changes here.
Let's keep it moving here. I'll move over to my next guy, and I'm going to hit on Kenneth Walker. Since week 9, Walker has really taken over as the true workhorse running back for this team. The last 4 weeks, Walker has played 72% of the snaps, 68% of the rush attempts with an 11% target share. He's averaging about 14 carries, 4 receptions per game. He's 14th in yards after contact per attempt, 9th in elusive rating, and 26th in yards per route run. And he's averaging about 13.6 fantasy points per game. Now, I will say a couple of the matchups they have been pretty tough. Honestly, Arizona has actually been one of the best run defenses in the league since week 7. They are only allowing about 80 rushing yards per game to the position. So a couple of these matchups here, maybe we should have expected this a little bit with Kenneth Walker. But that changes this week with matchups against the Jets here, because the Jets have really started to struggle against the run. They've allowed the 10th most rushing yards, the most rushing touchdowns, and 12th in yards after contact per attempt over the last 4 weeks they've played. So I do think this is a much better matchup for Kenneth Walker. And honestly, this Jets team is an absolute disaster right now. I mean, everything that's coming out about this team right now is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. We talk about maybe placing him on IR, you know, and that they're going to move on from after the season. They're going to clean house. Like, it has just gotten bad to worse to worse. I mean, it is a tough scene to be a New York fan, whether you're a fan of the Giants, whether you're a fan of the Jets. I mean, both these teams are just absolute dumpster fires right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if this Jets team just completely implodes. So I really do like Kenneth Walker a lot this week. I think he bounces back and he's in for one of those big monster games that we've seen earlier in the season.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a minute since we've had one of those, but I love that call. Definitely would have been somebody I would have talked about had you not already staked claim to him. But my second play of the week is going to be Aaron Jones. And after we saw 2 weeks of decreased usage, kind of in quotes, and snap rates for Aaron Jones after he was dealing with that rib injury, we saw him rebound, get back to that workhorse role that we had gotten used to for the majority of the year. In week 12, Jones saw 26 total opportunities and 79% of the snaps to just 4 opportunities and 15% of the snaps for Cam Akers. The Cardinals defense has been better than what the overwhelming majority of us thought it was going to be heading into the season, but they're still allowing the 12th most fantasy points per game to running backs. They've only given up 9 total touchdowns to running backs, makes their points against numbers look better, but they're allowing nearly 144 total yards per game to running backs through the air and on the ground. They've allowed the 11th most rushing yards in total on the season, the 8th most receiving yards to opposing backs, and early betting lines have Minnesota favored by 3.5. I think we see that number creep up toward the end of the week, but I love this spot as a potential smash spot for Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I'll say that's how he's going to have to get there, because on the ground, they really have. I mean, like I said, since week 7, they have only allowed 3.7 yards per carry and only 84 rushing yards per game over that span. And this blew me away. Their explosive run rate allowed is 0.9%. The next closest is the Patriots, who allow a 2%. I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but like, they are allowing no explosive plays whatsoever, which aligns with the fact that they have the second highest stuff rate in the league over that span, and they're about middle of the road in terms of yards for contact per attempt. But where they do struggle, and just like you mentioned, is against pass catching running backs, because they've allowed nearly 500 receiving yards this year to pass catching running backs. So that is really the area where you can attack them. And obviously, you're not worried about that with Aaron Jones, because Aaron Jones is definitely somebody who's going to catch passes out of the backfield. So I definitely think Aaron Jones can still get there. He's still one of the more efficient running backs in the league. So I just hope that, they don't get, this game can stay close and be able to push the pace here to be able to get him more involved in the passing game, because I think that's where he's going to come through. Because, like I said, the Cardinals been better against the run than I think people really will give them credit for. Next up for me is going to be Buck Yerving. And I had him on the list last week. And you know what? I said, fuck it. We're going to put him on the list again this week, because he was phenomenal last week. And it really was kind of his coming out show. Handled 54% of the snaps, 18 total opportunities, and scored 27 PPR points on the season. He's now the RB24 in fantasy points per game. And the dude's just been incredibly efficient. His 7.4% explosive run rate ranks 3rd, trailing only Jahmyr Gibbs and Derrick Henry. He's 3rd missed tackles forced per attempt, which trails only Kenneth Walker and James Conner. And he's 3rd in yards after contact per attempt, and he's 11th in yards per route run. Like, he pretty much checks every single box that you're looking for. And honestly, it does get frustrating at times when Rashad White's even involved, because it feels like he should just be the workhorse for this team. I get it with his size, maybe you're not asked to do all that, but Rashad White's never going to go anywhere, because they really like him on third downs. They really like him as a pass protector on third downs. That's not something that they've really wanted to ask Buck Yerving to do. But they do get another really good matchup this week against Carolina. Since week 8, the Panthers have allowed 157 rushing yards per game, 1 touchdown per game. Their 31% stuff rank is dead last, and their 2.11 yards before contact per attempt is also the 7th highest rate in the league. So this is still a very good matchup for a running back, and I think this is another one that Buck Yerving is going to exploit. Even though that he's only handling, limited opportunities, he's still very involved in the passing game, so that is also a positive for Buck Yerving. So I think the Buck Yerving trend continues. I think he continues to be this, and this is another fantastic matchup for him this week.
Something I was surprised to see from that game on Sunday, too, was the fact that Buck Yerving ran more routes than Rashad White did. He obviously out-targeted him 6-1. They split carries at 12 apiece, but Bucky ran 20 routes to just 11 for Rashad White. So if that can continue for the rest of the season, that's going to be a big feather in the cap for Bucky going forward. Moving on, I'm going to talk about Tony Pollard. I mentioned Joe Mixon as someone who should be giving thanks for his Week 13 matchup. Tony Pollard should be right there next to him. Pollard played extremely well this past week in a difficult matchup against the Texans, but even in the 2 weeks before that, he went up against the Chargers and the Vikings, and all three of those teams have been among the toughest fantasy matchups for running backs. And Pollard now is going to get to go up against the Commanders, who've allowed the most rushing yards on the season. They are tied for the fifth most rushing touchdowns allowed. They've done really well against receiving backs, but that's not necessarily something I'm worried about here in this matchup. I'm assuming that Tyjae Spears is going to be back for this one. That doesn't really bother me. He's averaging about 8.5 opportunities per game, which includes a 15-carry outlier game back in week four. So I don't think that we should necessarily be counting on, you know, another 24 rush attempts from Tony Pollard this week, but I don't think it's going to be too far out from that either. So love this spot for Tony Pollard. It's good to see him kind of rebound from where he was last year when, you know, I know especially you, Kev, you're all about that Tony Pollard life, but we just did not take into consideration just that that injury that he suffered really holding him back for another year, but he's definitely rebounded from that now. So good to see that from TP.
Absolutely agree. He's been pretty much their workhorse, like you mentioned. And this is a really good matchup this week against the Commanders. The Commanders have been really bad against the run. 4.65 yards per carry, 2.29 yards before contact per attempt, ranked top five in both those metrics as well. They've also allowed 8 touchdowns, you know, over the last few weeks as well. So really like this spot for Tony Pollard. So I definitely agree. He was actually somebody that I was actually looking at discussing, but you know, sometimes you got to compromise sometimes, you know? So next up, I'm going to talk about Tyrone Tracy, and I get it's probably a little bit of a touchy subject this week for some people, especially people that that rostered him and played him this week, because, I think it really could have been a pretty solid game for him because he looked like the guy that we expect, right? On 9 carries, 4 receptions, he had 70 total yards. You know, everything was looking great for him. Now, the game script wasn't going great because they were getting the boat raised, but he did it again. Oops, he did it again, like Britney Spears said. He fumbled, and I was like, as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, God, here we go.
Yep.
And because it's 2 weeks in a row, the game wasn't like it was close or like it was like, you know, it was coming down or like it was like it was the last time where it cost him the game. But still, so then right after that, he got benched. The very next series, they were able to move the ball down the field again. And, of course, they got to the 1-yard line, and they scored a touchdown, and Devin Singletary took it. So then they ended up putting him in like ultra garbage time, last drive of the game, like, you know, 2-minute drive. Game was completely out of hand. Some of the starters were pulled, and they put him back out there. And so he ended up getting a couple more receptions, which kind of helped people a little bit to make it not such a just a god-awful day for him. I think he finished like 9 fantasy points, but I'm going to go right back to the well. Like, he is clearly their best running back. If you look at every single metric, he just completely dwarfs everybody else on that team in terms of their other running backs. Eric Gray is not it. Devin Singletary is not it. Tyrone Tracy definitely is. Now that there is a case we made that, you know, if you can't hold on the ball, then you know, obviously, you know, head coaches aren't going to like that, and so that is definitely a problem. But I don't think this is a long term issue with him. They said the last time this happened, you know, basically that they have a lot of faith in him, and you know, they want to continue to give him the ball. And this is honestly a great matchup. Now, last week, there should have been some expectation that, you know, they could get their ass kicked, especially with Tommy DeVito going against the Bucs. Like, you know, that offense has been really good all year. You were going to need their defense to play one hell of a game to be able to limit that. This week, we're not as concerned about that with Cooper Rush out here. I know that offense or that team put up 34 points last week. That was on a lot of fluky stuff. The kick return for a touchdown, a defensive touchdown. I mean, a lot of different things happened in that. I'm not so worried about that this week. And so the Cowboys have been really, really bad against running backs. Since week 7, the Cowboys have allowed a 5.17 yards per carry and over 2 rushing touchdowns per game over that span. They've also allowed the 2nd highest explosive run rate, the 7th lowest stuff rate, and a 2.4 yards before contact per attempt is the 3rd highest rate in the league. So this is a tremendous matchup for Tyrone Tracy. I didn't see, you know, I was checking around trying to see if I could find anything about anything that was said, you know, by Brian Daboll about Tyrone Tracy. There was nothing said about it. I think he'll be fine. I think he's going to continue to operate as the team's lead back. Obviously, this team's not going anywhere this year, so I don't think that should be taken into consideration. So I think putting him out there, trying to build his confidence back up, I definitely think is the way to go. And this could be an absolute smash matchup for Tyrone Tracy. So I think he bounces back in a big way. I'm going to go right back to the well and I feel pretty confident about it.
Yeah, again, we've said this a couple of times, but he was someone who I was also debating on talking about, so I'm right there with you. And even with the Cowboys' defense getting healthier, they weren't good against the run earlier in the year whenever they did have all their guys on defense either. So even with Parsons coming back and, you know, getting a couple of their other pieces, that's not going to matter too much to me. So really like that spot. Lastly, Chuba Hubbard. The Panthers are actually not awful to watch, which is something we couldn't say for like the first half of the season. Kev, you're talking about Bryce Young looking better and at least a functional quarterback earlier on. But even during that time when everything was so bad, Chuba Hubbard was still one of the most consistent fantasy running backs we had. Just saw him put up a back-end RB 1 week in a really difficult matchup against the Chiefs. Now gets to go up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have allowed the eighth most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs on the season. Jonathan Brooks saw just 5 snaps last week. So while I think we should certainly expect him to be more involved in this second week, this is still Chuba's backfield. He's still going to be handling the overwhelming majority of these touches this week. And Hubbard has quietly also racked up 11 targets over the past 2 games. This is an area where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers really struggle. And they've allowed the second most receiving yards to running backs this season. So I think this is another spot where we can continue to see Chuba put his efforts on full display.
Yeah, I like that call. I mean, and he's actually gotten better because when I went to update the graphic for Chuba Hubbard, like everything was even better than it was, like on a per-touch basis. Like he's just gotten better and better as the season went by. So I think there's a lot to like with Chuba Hubbard. I mean, he's just been one of the biggest surprises this year. I mean, he was almost free in a lot of drafts. If you were drafting him, it was late. And, I mean, he's right now the RB14 in fantasy points per game, RB11. He's RB11 in expected fantasy points per game. So it's been a really good fresh air to see him this year to play this well. And, you know, it seems kind of silly now that they drafted Jonathan Brooks considering how well he's played. But then, you know, obviously hindsight's always what is it, 2020 or whatever it is. The saying is for that, yeah, this is a good matchup as long as they keep this game close. And as long as their offense continues to play like it did last week, then I think there's a really good chance that that's going to happen anyway. So let's go ahead and move over to the wide receivers now. I'll start with my first guy. And I don't know if there's been a more unlucky wide receiver this year than George Pickens, because just looking at his numbers this year, he has been phenomenal. You know, if you look at him, he has a 29% target share, 43.8% market share of the air yards. He's fourth in deep targets. He's fifth in red zone targets. He's fifth in first read target share among all wide receivers. 52 catches, 776 receiving yards. But he's only averaging 12.6 fantasy points per game because he only has 2 touchdowns. This man has had so many touchdowns, either called back from penalty. I think there's been at least 3 this year that he's had called back from penalty. He had another one that he was wide open that Russ, you know, threw it behind him that he couldn't get to. Like, his numbers could be well better than what they are right now, which is why he is 9th in expected fantasy points per game, because he is getting everything else. It's just he has been super unlucky and things have happened. So George Pickens, I think, is in a really good spot. He's also 8th in yards per route run, 5th in yards per team pass attempt. Since he versus wide receivers, they allow the 4th most fantasy points to outside wide receivers and the 11th most PPR points overall to wide receivers. So this is a really good matchup for George Pickens. I think eventually we're going to see one of these massive explosion spots come from him where he actually can connect on a touchdown, because he has been running really poorly in that department, and I think some regression is definitely heading his way.
For my first play at wide receiver this week, this one makes me extremely happy to be able to talk about, because it's been a guy of ours for quite some time. That is going to be Michael Pittman. It seems like Josh Downs is a long shot to play this weekend, which would be a big hit to the Colts in general, but it's certainly going to open up more targets for Michael Pittman, who has racked up 15 over the last 2 weeks. Now going to get a matchup against the Patriots defense that has struggled against outside wide receivers specifically basically all season. Outside of last week, the Patriots offense has been able to at least keep up and push other teams, so I'd expect them to bounce back here in a favorable spot up against Indy, which should keep Richardson dropping back. And we did see last week with Pittman put up his third wide receiver 2 week of the season, and he did lead the team with nearly 32% of the first read target share. So you really like that, really like to see that. And obviously, like I said, with Josh Downs being out, that should open that up even further. And Pittman does move around a little bit as well. So that's something you do like to see. I'm curious to see what they're going to end up doing with Downs out and how much they move him into the slot. But I think he's been around like 25% throughout the season. So, but I think either way, Pittman's in a really nice spot here going up against the Pats.
Yeah, it was good. I finally see him come back a little bit healthy. Maybe that week he set out helped the back a little bit. He's been dealing with a number of different injuries. And so, it was good to finally see him kind of have sort of a breakout game this year, because he's been pretty bad so far this year for the most part. Some of it's injury related. Some of it's just, you know, Anthony Richardson and just the quarterback play they've had this year. But that was pretty positive. And I do agree. His numbers go up immensely once Josh Downs is off the field. So it should definitely help him quite a bit. So next up for me is going to be T. Higgins. And when I first looked this up a couple of weeks ago, I was shocked when I saw this, that the trend has continued so far through this point. But between him and Ja'Marr Chase, he actually sees the highest target share whenever they're both on the field. He actually sees he's actually first in first read target share as well. He has a 29% target share on the season. He's 16th in market share of air yards on the year as well, averaging 18.5 fantasy points per game, which is top 10 among all wide receivers. He's 22nd in yards per route run, 9th in yards per team pass attempt, and has scored 15 or more PPR points in 4 straight games as well. So T. Higgins has been an absolute baller. This game also has a 47-point total, so there's a lot to like between both these offenses for this week. Obviously, now this is the third player that I've talked about between running back and wide receivers from this game, but I just think this game sets up really nicely. We've gotten to the point where it is such a consolidated target share between him and Ja'Marr Chase that these guys are eating up like 60% of the target share every single week. And so whenever it's like that, it makes it a lot easier to be able to target both of these guys and feel really good about playing them. And so T. Higgins, I just think for the rest of season, is a borderline top 12 wide receiver. I mean, that's what he has produced at all year. It's not just a really small sample size. I mean, we've seen enough now to see this is how this is going to go. And so I think T. Higgins is in a fantastic spot this week. You know, it's not the best matchup against the Steelers. The Steelers do a better job, but they do allow the 15th most receiving yards to wide receivers. They've been a little bit more stingy in terms of allowing, touchdowns to wide receivers this year. But still, T. Higgins has just been an absolute baller. This offense has been so good. So really love T. Higgins as well.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw Jerry Jeudy torch, specifically Joey Porter Jr., in that game. So there's definitely going to be enough to go around for all these guys. You kind of wish that like they would consolidate those tight end targets, just because tight end has been so bad. Like, I feel like if we just got like one tight end getting those targets, but they split that around between three or four different guys. So really the only ones you can trust when everyone's healthy is, you know, obviously Chase Higgins and then Chase Brown, who you were already talking about. So really like that call as well. Should be another fun game for that one. Speaking of someone who's also been balling out this year, let's go to Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's just been on an absolute heater the past 3 weeks, putting up 3 straight wide receiver one performances. In his first 8 games of the year, JSN totaled 388 receiving yards, and he has nearly matched that in these past 3 weeks, going for 367. Now Seattle's going to get a matchup against the Jets. You were touching on this already with Kenneth Walker. That defense is not really a defense that we are shying away from like we have in the past few seasons. And regardless, JSN is basically staying in the slot for almost all of his snaps anyway. Seattle is actually a 2-point favorite here on the road right now. We also have a little bit of that Geno Smith revenge game narrative floating here too. So I love this spot for JSN. I think he continues the tear that he's on in week 13.
Yeah, it's been good to see him finally kind of break out. This last half of the season. So really it was kind of rough starting the season. It was once again, looking at things like, man, okay, maybe it's not the offensive coordinator. Maybe it wasn't fraudulent. Maybe it really was, JSN, but we've seen a pretty big shift now within this offense. So that is a positive, a good sign for things to come as well. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if like JSN next year is like, you know, going in like the third round or something like that of drafts. Like, I think he's going to be going much higher than what he is right now, because I do expect Tyler Lockett to be gone. And I just think targets are going to be pretty consolidated like we've seen there, even with Tyler Lockett there. So like that call a lot. Next up for me is going to be Ladd McConkey going against the Falcons. On the season, Ladd McConkey is seeing about a 25% target share. He plays 63% of the snaps from the slot. He's averaging just about 14 fantasy points per game. He's 21st in yards per route run, 16th in yards after the catch. What I really love to see as well is that right now, I mean, there's really not a whole lot else there, right? I mean, Quentin Johnson, a really frustrating game on Monday. targeted five times, had three drops. I mean, really should have scored a touchdown. They completely missed them. But I mean, right now, Ladd McConkey is the only wide receiver they have that has been consistent. Obviously, he's a rookie wide receiver, but he's played really well this year. And I don't think he's really gotten the roses that he deserves so far as well as he's played. He has a shot. I think he probably will go over 1,000 receiving yards this year by the time it's all over. He's got 615 as of right now with a little bit of time left. I think he can get close to that. But overall, he gets a really, really good matchup this week against the Falcons. He's going to be seeing, because he plays so much from the slot, he's going to be seeing a lot of D. Alford, who's their primary slot for the Falcons. And he has been absolutely gashed all year. He's allowed 336 receiving yards, three touchdowns, and a 104.6 passer rating. And even beyond that, the Falcons have allowed the seventh most PPR points to wide receivers. And so I just think the target share continues to grow for Ladd McConkey just because he is clearly their number one wide receiver.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, to mention from that game is we had J.K. Dobbins leave with a knee injury. That could open up this offense even more with them not being able to lean on the run. You know, Kamani Vidal, a lot of people were excited about. He was a sleeper for, you know, a rookie sleeper for some folks. But as soon as Gus Edwards came back, he was a healthy and active. So, you know, obviously they're going to have to bring him back in. But, you know, that was something that I think that is surprised a lot of people, is we thought we were just going to get this, like, ground and pound, really slow, you know, really conservative offense. And that just hasn't been the case with the Chargers, despite them not having a lot of weapons there to support Herbert outside of McConkey. So next up for me is going to be DJ Moore. I mentioned him last week as someone who was being ranked too low. Admittedly, I did say that I didn't feel confident, like, stamping it as one of my plays of the week. But he came through nonetheless. I think it was wide receiver 4 on the week last week. I'm going back to the well here again in week 13. I mentioned, you know, giving thanks for Shane Waldron being fired. It just can't be understated just how fucking awful that it was. And, you know, makes me sad we were robbed of these Caleb Williams performances for the, you know, the first 10 weeks of the season. But the fact that they dealt with the Vikings defense the way they did makes me feel very good about this offense going forward. Minnesota did their thing, brought the blitz a ton against Williams like we knew they would. But Williams is actually only under pressure on 22% of his dropbacks this week. That was the fifth lowest mark without including the Monday night game. We know the Lions give it up through the air. They're allowing the sixth most fantasy points per game to wideouts. So I really like this spot for DJ Moore again. Also going to, you know, go out on a limb and assume that we don't see 15 Keenan Allen targets, which could open it up for him. You know, we did see a massive bump for the DJ Moore ADOT. You know, I talked about last week at 0.9 for week 12. That went all the way up to a very, very hot 3.6 average depth of target, Kev. And still, DJ Moore is out here doing his thing, 7 for 106 in a score, even with having a sub-5-yard ADOT.
Yeah, I love to see that. That was a good call by you last week. It was about time. We were kind of waiting. And it's funny, all of a sudden, when he gets involved with the offense, that instead of sitting over moping on the sideline, you know, he was over there joking around, having a good time. So, you know, I guess he's back, you know, being happy to be playing for the Chicago Bears again. So, yeah, I think there's, you know, this offense has definitely looked remarkably better with Frazier and gone. And I think this game could go a lot of different directions against the Lions. The Lions have kind of pimp-slapped a lot of teams this year. But with this being a divisional game, I do think that this game could be a little bit closer. Maybe the Bears could kind of put on a little bit of a show here too, and could kind of, and this game could end up being really high scoring. So I do like that call. They're likely going to be playing, you know, from behind, which is going to push them to throw the ball even more. So
just really quickly, we have a 10.5 point spread on this and a 48.5 point over under. So that spread, well, the Chiefs Raiders game that is sitting at 13, I'm assuming that's going to be the highest spread we have. And for the total, so 48.5 for the Rams and the Saints. Oh, and then 54, Eagles, Ravens. So, yeah, that's going to be the tie for the second highest total we have of the week as well.
Yeah, which are all boxes you want to check. So, okay, so for my last guy that I want to hit on, I'm going back to the well. It's going to be Brian Thomas Jr. versus the Texans. Now, listen, the first thing we want to mention is that Trevor Lawrence actually was at practice today. So that is a positive first practice off the bye week. So they're basically said that they're going to let him, you know, practice this week, see how he does. If he responds well, then he's going to play this weekend because they need him. Because, you know, the quarterback play they've had so far this year has been terrible outside of Trevor Lawrence. And I kind of talked about this yesterday on the waiver wire show that we did on Sunday night. And Trevor Lawrence was actually playing pretty good football. I know people aren't going to want to hear that. And in terms of fantasy production-wise, he was actually playing pretty well. Over the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, he was averaging over 20 fantasy points per game. So I think this is a much welcome boost for the pass catchers. And as we've talked about, this thing is going to get even more consolidated because not only is Christian Kirk out for the year, Gabe Davis got put on IR. And so now I think it really opens the door up for someone like Brian Thomas to see a massive target share. Yes, Evan Ingram is still there. Evan Ingram's still going to see targets. But Brian Thomas now should be the unquestioned number one wide receiver. I think this week off should also help him with the own injury that he was dealing with. But Brian Thomas has been really good this year from efficiency standpoint, 16th in yards per route run, 19th in yards per team pass attempt, 9th in separation score, 8th in fantasy points per route run. So he has been one of the best rookie wide receivers this year. And now he gets a really good matchup against the Houston Texans, who allow the 7th most fantasy points to wide receivers. They allow the 13th most receptions, the 8th most receiving yards, and the most receiving touchdowns to wide receivers this year. So I think Brian Robinson could have another big game like we've seen earlier in the season from him before the injury. So I think they get back on track this week with Brian Thomas. I think Brian Thomas can threaten for 20 fantasy points this week.
Yeah, as long as Trevor Lawrence is back, that it should be wheels up. Like you said, it's going to consolidate that target tree a lot more as well. It's basically going to be him and Evan Ingram. So that should be something exciting to watch. And if you are in Dynasty, and you mentioned this on just like the regular buy sell video we did, Kev, if you still have a trade deadline that's open up in your redraft leagues, there is definitely a window open for Brian Thomas Jr. And if you're in Dynasty leagues, I think there's a window there as well. For my last play, I'm going to talk about Khalil Shakir. This isn't necessarily like a nuclear smash spot for him because, you know, he just doesn't have that high of a ceiling. But I more so just wanted to bring him up so people aren't overlooking Shakir this week. I think he's a perfectly good like wide receiver 3/flex play, depending on your league settings and what, you know, the size of your league. The 49ers are another team that's kind of falling apart here, and specifically for Shakir, DeAndre Lenore has allowed the 7th most yards from the slot, which is where Shakir operates. He's just been the definition of steady Eddie out there. Over the last 4 weeks, has at least 6 catches for 50 yards in all of those, racked up 38 targets over the last 4 weeks as well. Even with this wide receiver room getting healthier, Shakir should still be a key piece of the passing attack. Like I said, probably doesn't have the highest ceiling. Maybe you don't need a play like Shakir this week, considering we have no bye weeks we have to worry about. But I still think that he is a viable play here and someone I just want to mention because I think he's going to go overlooked in a week like this.
Yeah, and I think my call before the season started that he was going to lead this team in targets, I think is going to end up coming true. So a little pat on the back for me there on that call. But yeah, Shakir's been... he's been safe. Like, he hasn't shown much of a ceiling, but he's been a safe weekly option, some of this you can count on a lot of weeks to be able to get you double-digit fantasy points. So I don't hate that call either. So, so that pretty much wraps it up for this week. I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving and enjoys a long weekend of football because not just do you get Thursday, but you also get Friday. Then you get college football on Saturday. Some good matchups there. And then, you know, back at it again Sunday, which, you know, it feels like it's been a while. We've had a really, really good slate of games on Sunday. And this weekend, it looks like there's going to be some really, really good matchups. Chargers and Falcons, Eagles and the Ravens should be a really good one. So I'm really excited about that. And then, you know, obviously we'll get Monday Night Football, which who's not going to be excited to watch Bo Nix going up against Jameis Winston. So, you know, that should be a fun one as well. So that being said, keep it locked in here. Like I said, have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving because you don't live in the United States or you just don't celebrate it, that's fine too. But just enjoy the football on Thursday either. I mean, it's a win-win. It's a win-win for everybody, no matter what, whether you celebrate Thanksgiving or not. So anyways, keep it locked in here. If you haven't already, wherever you're listening to this too, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We appreciate it. Bye.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.